podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Tony Review system, Diogo. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
Oh, it's a goal. Who got the assist?
Hello, everyone. So a bit of a different pod today, as you probably heard from the opening jingle. So this is our 300th podcast. Yes, we're in the midst Double game week 34, and as such, we thought we'd chill on the FPL stuff this one, and also take the opportunity to look back at WGTA through the years. No FPL advice here, I'm afraid. It's pure kind of reminiscing and things like that. If that's not for you, that's cool. Our proper main pod is back on Wednesday with Sam. But today, what would this be in the 300th pod? I can only be joined by one man. That is Nick, the WGTA OG. You're right, mate. How are you doing?
Hey, Tom. Yeah, not too bad. Thank you. Thanks for inviting me back. It's been a long time since I last did the pod. Been out the game for quite a while now, I think. But yeah, it's great to make an appearance and back for this special kind of throwback, I suppose, for the hardcore originals who've sort of followed us from inception sort of 7 odd years ago. So can't believe how time has passed back then. I think we were boasting about doing a pod in our 20s and all this, and now we're on the other side of 30. So yeah, things are good. We are Who Got the Assist. Yeah, as I said, let's discuss WGTA and reminisce a little bit on some of our past ventures.
Indeed. So I mean, yeah, if you haven't been listening to us since the very beginning, that's cool. Hopefully this will give you a little bit of a background to everything, really. And let's go from the beginning, shall we? So we spoke about this on a pod a long time ago. Do you remember we did that intro to Tom and Nick? Like, I think that comes 20,
I do remember that, yeah.
Pods in. That's the very last time we kind of spoke about the genesis of Who Got the Assist. And I guess, you know, you and I know each other from school. We've known each other since we were 11, 12. And you always kind of described us as kind of frenemies until we were about sort of 16, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, frenemies sounds a bit harsh, but I think, yeah, we knew each other when we were 11 years old, but we didn't really hang out, I suppose, until the sixth form. I mean, we did hang out between the sort of the ages of 13 to 16, but it's all just kind of being in the same social circle, really, having a few mutual friends here and there, going to the same parties. But I suppose we actually became proper friends about the sixth form, just after GCSEs, I think. And so I suppose we didn't really talk about football back then. It was more about indie music and rock bands, like going to gigs together, that kind of thing. A bit of history and politics lessons together, that kind of thing as well for A-levels. So that's kind of when we really became friends, I suppose.
Yeah, debating the finer points of liberalism, I seem to remember, and whether appeasement was actually the fault of Neville Chamberlain or not.
it was early
fair, and obviously we elevated that conversation into fantasy football eventually. So I guess we were in our mid-20s, weren't we, when we kind of looked at WGTA and started thinking about a podcast. But I guess it's sort of framed in a sort of from the ashes sort of way, because we both, and I think you said on the first pod, and I think that it was a really kind of salient point, we didn't really talk about kind of our past really, because we didn't want people to think, have the sympathy vote and be listening to the sick guys or something like that, I think you said. But yeah, like, you had a really tough time kind of in your early 20s, didn't you? And that kind of oddly led you to WGTA, and so did I. But yeah, I mean, but your story was, yeah, quite difficult, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'd probably say it's more mid-20s than sort of early 20s. So this is kind of like post-university, been working for a couple of years. And it was actually, so it was actually the 2014-15 season. So firstly, well, just before that, I'd had sort of ulcerative colitis. So like, was really unwell for a while, kind of like stomach issues ultimately. And then it got so much worse, sort of that 2014 sort of a Christmas Day sort of period where I came down with appendicitis. And then I ended up spending the New Year's in hospital. And Yeah, I think we were talking quite a bit, just kind of started to talk a fair bit about FPL around that time as well, where we both got really ill. I mean, you told me, obviously most of the listeners know that you had cancer, and I think you told me when I was in hospital, and it was just a bit of a shock at the time because I felt like I was feeling dreadful myself, and then to kind of like be landed with that news about you kind of really like affected my mood. And it was just quite interesting actually how FPL was a bit of a crux to really help us through our problems, because I remember, this is like a bit kind of classic FPL thing, but like I remember I missed the deadline because I was in hospital, so I actually had Harry Kane as my captain, and this was kind of his emergent year for Spurs as well. So he had Chelsea, so not many people really owned him or knew much about him, done quite well in Europa, but no one hadn't really kicked on in the league. But I'd brought him in as a Spurs fan, and I'd also had him in the captain. I don't even know what the fixture was before the Chelsea game, but I had him as captain, missed the deadline. But then in that Chelsea game, he massively hauled. It was a 5-3 thriller, and I watched it in the hospital cheering on Kane as he like hauled massively for me. It's kind of my best FPL season as well at the time. Finished like 25k overall rank, and that really kind of got me into it a little bit. Whilst you were obviously, I can't even remember WhatsApp, might have been text message back then or something, messaging all the time like about the FPL websites and all that kind of stuff, and that's really got kind of me inspired, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I had Hodgkin's lymphoma in my early 20s, as I'm sure many some listeners know. I was diagnosed when I was 24. New Year's Eve, actually. That was a lovely New Year's present. So all of 2015, the first half of it was spent having chemotherapy, radiotherapy, and obviously it wasn't the best time in the world. I lost all my hair, lost a lot of, the sense of self that I was back then. And yeah, you're right. Like it was, FPL became like something that, gave me weekend to weekend. Now I was going for my treatment during the week. Like it gave me something to look forward to on the weekend. And I've expressed this before, but I remember I didn't have girlfriend at the time. I didn't have very much. I had gaming and I had my close friends like yourself. But I remember a few years later looking through when I could bring myself to the photos of, everything that I'd gone through, and like in between all of the pictures of all of the stuff, the chemo drugs and the radiotherapy room and my little radiotherapy mold thing that I've still got. And there was just loads of pictures of teams, loads of pictures of, could I do this? Could I do that? I must have sent you and sent a few other people. Like I'd gotten into FPL in my first ever job, everyone was kind of quite into it, and just kind of a thing around the office. And I remember the first year I started it, I think it must have just been beginner's luck. It was that season when Yaya Toure was just on a tear, and I got him in kind of game week one, I think, not really knowing very much. And then by the end of the season, I'd run away with the Wurt mini league. And I was just hooked from there. Like I found Fantasy Football Scout, was commenting on there. And by the time I was ill, like I was commenting a fair bit. We were talking a fair bit, obviously. And then, I think just after we both sort of recovered, we were both kind of thinking, well, we love the Scout cast, watch that. And both started listening to Always Cheating through finding out Trigalips's forum, wasn't it? The Transfer Hub. I don't know if that's still going. Obviously, he's an interesting fellow. I found Always Cheating through them. And we kind of thought, I feel like we can talk about this because we both had good seasons. Like in the Leicester season, that's my best ever season when I was stricken with cancer. I think I got like a 2K finish then, just kind of from having Vares and Fuchs effectively. And I guess, we kind of cooked up this idea over kind of a couple of years. And then kind of the year before, I had a similar Kane experience, actually. I remember it was one of my first dates with my other half. And I remember we were in Greenwich, Greenwich Park. And I remember vividly that I had Captain Kane that week away at Bournemouth, and like no one had captained him, no one actually owned him. I remember like opening my phone, I think it was Live Score back then, opening my phone to see he's got a hat trick. He's going, yeah! And she was just like, oh no, what am I doing? Rita, she's still with me and has my child now. And I think we kind of started talking about it, didn't we? And there were loads of things that we kind of wanted to do, but I think, we're talking 2016, and back then stats weren't really a thing, were they? Like I think there was a lot of God love them, conversations surrounding gut feeling. It was all kind of what we'd now call vibes, and it was all very much eye test based. And I know it sounds ridiculous now, because obviously stats are ubiquitous everywhere, but I think this in the days before Xdata, we were kind of, so is it fair to say we're pioneers of using data in what we were doing, at least kind of making sure that everything that we said was evidenced, which I think was kind of really key for us. I don't know whether we'd call ourselves pioneers in the block party fashion, but you know, I think that's kind of mainly what we both sort of liked about it, wasn't it? Or at least liked about the idea of creating this podcast that later became Who Got the Assist.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, this was 8 years ago, so it does sound funny to say that, because, you know, we didn't focus a lot on all kind of like database models and XG data back then, all the kind of trendy stuff that you see. I mean, you said, you know, Twitter, social media is awash with data analytics now and predictive models and all this kind of thing. And it didn't really exist back then. As you said, a lot of the content, and there wasn't too much content out there, a couple, you know, a few podcasts, but there was only perhaps three or four other podcasts at the time. And then there was the Scoutcast, which was mainly YouTube based. So there did feel like a bit of a gap in the market at the time for stats-based podcasts. And as I said, it does feel a little bit strange to say that now when there's so much data out there, but that is one of the things that was kind of like one of our driving forces at the time. I think, you know, we both had kind of a combination, I suppose, of arts and sciences knowledge bases as well from our sort of education, and we wanted to kind of combine that. So it wasn't just kind of about the stats, it was also using sort of elements of psychology as well from some of your studies. And we brought in, obviously, the psychology corner, which was kind of a regular feature of the podcast for a while, where you'd obviously talk about various sort of biases and you know, some of that stuff as well was brand new to the podcast world, FPL world. No one had really thought about some of these things before. And it was really kind of interesting, you know, you talking about herd mentality, that kind of thing, you know, sunk cost fallacy. I think like a lot of our early listeners, like, you know, I think most people know about these things now, but back then this was brand new to many a listener, and how to kind of apply these theories to FPL, which I think was really, really interesting and definitely was a gap in the market as well.
Yeah, I'd like to think that that's a bit of a legacy of ours, that we did do that. And I think that, you know, our appearance in the world definitely, I think, pushed people towards the objective of data, at least. Obviously, now we look at things like what we used to say, like big chances, pen box touches, one of your favourites, like all these sorts of things, and people would look at them and think, oh, yeah, that's Sterling. It's irrelevant. Yeah, he's got 25 pen Sterling. Box touches in his last six games. He's a must-buy. But yeah, that sort of thing, I think, was kind of the kind of stuff we're looking at. And I was looking back, and I have, you know, that way back machine thing. I was looking at that the other day, because one of our friends, mutual friends, Alan, he was asking, he mentioned that the bonus point system should be rigged to look after defensive midfielders and make them look better. And I remember that I'd written about that in 2019 about this. And that reminded me, as I kind of went through kind of a bit of a kind of 45-minute odyssey during my lunch break at work, just trying to finding all of these articles that we'd written. And yeah, it was funny, wasn't it? Because we were thinking that, not that we were going to take on the Scout, or the Hub didn't exist back then, but take on the Scout or anything like that. That wasn't our intention. But we were doing so much at first, like so much writing. Remember prospecting the prospects? So, yeah. You know, when we're looking at all the players, and we had that methodology of looking at their goals and assists and trying to guess what their bonuses would have been, and then kind of giving an FPL sort of what they'd have scored last year in FPL, and then the rating, you know, all of that sort of stuff we looked at. And, you know, we kind of did everything, but I mean, there's kind of this overriding sort of memory of in my kitchen, in my flat, or in my dining room, in my flat. I remember I set up like kind of one microphone, you know, one of those old, the blue, I don't think it was a blue snowball. I think it was a blue kind of whatever it was, like a spherical thing that I'd borrowed from work, in inverted commas. And we were both kind of like, you know, just jostling to get our mouths round this, around this microphone. And it was all very sort of awkward. Like, I remember I was thinking, oh, you know, I'll be cool, I'll be fine. And I just kind of, early doors, I just sounded so like work mode. I sounded like I was giving a presentation to 20 people I don't really know. And I think that was kind of a bit of a difficult, it's something that kind of, I've always enjoyed presenting, but it took me a little while to just kind of, you know, get in the saddle properly. But yeah, Do you remember that day in my kitchen, in my dining room? Yeah. I feel like that we had a load of notes, didn't we? And we were just trying to be like, all right, let's just go for it. Let's just try to get this all done. And there's a really cringeworthy, hello, I'm Tom, I'm Nick. And this is Who Got the Assist that we decided to throw in as well.
Yeah, I mean, you reminded me of that just before we went on. I've completely forgot about it, to be honest. But it's good to hear kind of the original jingle that my wife that does. Actually, I think she's the only person that's been on every single pod. It's worth every 300 of the pods. She's had her jingle at the beginning, and I whipped that up on GarageBand in about 10 minutes, threw it together, and we had our pod theme. And as you say, yeah, we did our little intro we used to have that got cold at some point, no idea when, but yeah, I do remember the first pod in your flat, as you said. Like, I think we just had about, probably went live after about 4 or 5 beers. Well, so even though it might sound relatively staged, I think we were just quite drunk by the time we actually got to recording it,
which, yeah
didn't matter too much. I don't think it's obvious or anything, but gave us that extra confidence boost, I suppose, to kind of get through the first original recording.
Oh god, yeah. No, I didn't listen to that one back, honestly. I think I'd just be like, oh my lord, who is that person? You know, different, so different. And we couldn't work out the remote for a long time, could we? Like, you know, you used to come over. I was working in the WeWork at the time, if you're a Londoner, around Moorgate, and you were working in the city kind of nearby, weren't you? And you used to kind of come over on a Monday night, and that WeWork is like a, I'm sure everyone knows what it is, but they do free beers basically. So I used to go there, just get like 2 or 3 pints, just kind of sat around us, have like a Raid Tesco or something before the pods, and then we both kind of be sat there around this one mic, and it was like we recorded directly to Audacity back in those days. So Audacity is like a free editing software sort of thing. But I remember we used to kind of, we spoke for a bit, and then you'd be like, oh no, I screwed that up. Right, pause it, right, delete that bit. Let's just move, let's do it again. And yeah, I mean, it sounds so rustic now, but I mean, that's kind of the way it sort of was for the first, you know, quite a long time. I think for maybe the majority of the first season, I think we recorded in the same room, didn't we?
Yeah, I mean, that was the tradition back then. I suppose we actually went into the offices at work, and that we only worked up the road from each other, so that it kind of worked quite well that we essentially finished work, sit and kind of prepare what we're going to talk about for an hour and a half, and said have a few beers in the RIP WeWork offices, and just churn out content ultimately. And then, yeah, as you said, it was heavily edited, so I think you'd go home and then you'd edit it. You had the fun job of editing it and putting it live. And quite often you'd message me about 4 a.m. saying it's up now or something. It's normally quite late or ridiculously late you were up for just like editing. And every so often you might say, mate, I'm really sorry, we've lost the pod. And
oh yeah,
it happened about 3 or 4 times where we did a recording and it was just completely gone, and we had to do it then the next day just because we wanted to get it over and done with. So the next day we just rush it out. Most of the preparation already been done, just try and repeat what we'd said the previous day and just recover it. So that was quite, that was probably one of the lows of the recording. But luckily it doesn't really happen anymore, so
I know. Remember that was that amazing now, at least. Do you remember that amazing pod we did with Lee from FPL Family? Like, it was so good. It was like full of, I think it was Lord of the Rings was the theme that day.
Game of Thrones, actually.
Was it Game of Thrones? Of course. Yeah, it was.
You had some Andre Greyjoy fan, I think.
Andre Greyjoy, oh man. And the White Walker stuff, which we won't repeat. Maybe it's a good thing that never went to air, but yeah, like this amazingly hilarious pod. I got home, opened up again, and it had gone. I was so distraught. Like, I think I'm not a violent person by any means, but I punched the wall because I was so frustrated, because I knew it was such a good pod. I remember phoning Lee just being like, mate, we've lost the pod. Oh, I'm so sorry. And he was like, it's okay. Because I think obviously he was like I am now, you know, with young kids, and just like, well, you know, this is just FBL. Obviously now he's taking a bit of a different path, but you know, back then I think it was a lot more chill about it, and it was kind of like, oh, you know what, it's so frustrating. But yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely sort of, you know, moved on a lot, as you say, like technology has definitely changed. Like obviously Sam, who we'll hear from in a little bit, has obviously been responsible for really dragging us into the modern era, as you can see through this, if you are watching this on YouTube, which I'm not sure why you would be, but if you are, thank you very much. But dragging us into the modern era from what it was before, where we only started doing YouTube like quite late, which is kind of a Zoom presentation thing with our little tiny little windows, like a PowerPoint and all that sort of thing, and now it just looks so much better. Anyway, spoiling back to the kind of those first few seasons, I guess we joined not just kind of the podcasting content, now known as content creation, with all the sort of pejorative feeling that seems to evoke in people, but we also joined FPL Twitter as it was then, and that was really a whole new world, wasn't it? Like we were exposed to so many people, like so many thoughts, and obviously now it's kind of turbocharged to such an extent that things are very, very different, as we'll speak about maybe a little bit. But at the start though, I mean, I think people were very genuinely quite friendly, and it was quite an addictive kind of place to be because there were so many kind of ideas flowing all the time, weren't there?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, we shared the Twitter, we created one one Twitter back then, which we shared, but I think you were a lot more active on it than I was. I occasionally posted here and there. It was kind of a bit disorganized in terms of who was posting what and who was talking to who when we were in a number of group chats. I think we were in a number of group chats at the time with other people who were kind of new to the FPL Twitter. And it was really sort of growing at that point. I think, you know, I think that possibly was the first season really where it kind of blew up to a certain extent. I think when we first started, a lot of the, you know, scout guys, for instance, weren't really on Twitter. It was all about the Scout Forum, and that was kind of the main online hub to talk about fantasy football, you know, the message boards, and Twitter was a bit dead, I suppose. But when we first joined, I think that's when it really kind of blew up. There were a few people out there, I think, yeah, FPL Hints Chief and FPL General were kind of the first people to kind of introduce us and drop us messages, and Stag, of course, he was around. Yeah, I don't think it was kind of the same as it is now. And yeah, I think it was a really good period. I think we really enjoyed that first season, kind of building up the Twitter and making lots of friends and connections and stuff like that. But as you said, I think you kind of got a bit more absorbed into the world than I did. And I think you really struggled that first FPL season. Whilst I kind of, I probably had my best season maybe just because I was kind of less obsessed with kind of reading everything that people put out there and focus more on preparing for each pod and coming up with interesting data points and stuff like that. And maybe that was kind of why you struggled a little bit more than me that season.
I think I was just kind of mildly obsessed with building the follower numbers, if that makes sense. Like I was just on it all the time, and it was actually quite a problem in my relationship because of how much I was on my phone. Like, I remember me and Anthony were speaking a while back. I'm speaking like, you know, 4 or 5 years back. And it would be something like I'd be tweeting like 100 times a day. Not like just my own thoughts, but also like responding to people and all that sort of thing. And although that was good because it kind of, a lot of the time it was me kind of being quite cheeky and posting the pod under BBC News or something like that, or BBC Sport, or like posting like an article we've written, be like, oh, you know, Mo Salah signed for Liverpool from Fiorentina. And I'd be like, oh, look, here's our prospects article. How good is going to be in FPL? Read more to find out. But a lot of it as well was just me getting involved in conversations with people, like expressly trying to, because I was trying to build the following. The problem with that was that I couldn't see the wood through the trees anymore. Like, I lost my perspective of what made me a good player back then, which I think was just kind of focusing on the min league, you know, trusting my own instincts. But I was listening to by osmosis so many people's thoughts that I just kind of got muddled and confused out of nowhere, and it was really difficult for me. I think, do you remember the Mo Salah gate when I sold him versus Bournemouth? Like, you know, that was very much like a, just because I'd been overdoing it really, and I read a few tweets, and there's the whole confirmation bias thing where I was like, oh well, I think he was benched in the midweek game, and for some reason I sold him rather than thinking actually he's going to play because he's been benched. A very sort of bizarre turn of events when you kind of just take Twitter too seriously. And I feel like up until I went to Australia, that's exactly what I did. And you know, you can, it's funny because you can see it now. You can see people were going through that same curve, whereas I'm at the other end of it now, where I'm kind of like, well, I've been there, I've done that, I've had the conversations, and it's quite difficult to steel myself to do them again. Not do the pod again, but like do the same sort of conversations on Twitter, like every time about free hit, every time about double game weeks, or something about wild cards, and all of the same sort of advice is quite cyclical, I think. But the first time you do it, it's so invigorating because it's so new, it's so fantastic. And then, you know, they were running the pod in the background, and I felt kind of the first year and into the second year as well. We just had so many ideas, didn't we? Like, even when we discovered Google Hangouts, we were doing it. We did it after a while, didn't we? Hangouts RIP. But we just had so many ideas, and there was so much sort of crackling through it. Do you remember Nyon Watch?
Of course.
Gone the way of Alan
Nyon. How could I forget that?
Yeah, we had a feature section. We had a feature section of the pod, didn't we? And Dad Watch overtook it when your dear old father was playing FBL and had a stonker of a start. Like, all of these little things. And then obviously the theme, which we haven't done today and probably we should have, but you know, the theme was one of those things, I think, as well, that really demarcated us a little bit. And plus, it was just fun, although there were some quite tortured references, weren't there, that were thrown in.
Yeah, I think we threw in a few dodgy themes every so often that kind of ended up with a few review bombs on iTunes podcasts.
Oh, yeah, there were a
few haters that we managed to pick up, but I don't think we minded. I think that was all part of the fun and games that kind of set us apart, I suppose, from some other podcasts. But I don't think we really took it too seriously. You know, we never seeked to kind of monetize it, I suppose, like a lot of content creators out there, I suppose, who, you know, we were always kind of like focused on our careers, our actual careers. This was never a full-time job for us or anything. So that's why we kind of took the piss a little bit by kind of throwing in all these tortured references to some of the pods. And I think that was part of the fun and games. But yeah, I think it's interesting that you mentioned Mo Salah, just because I feel like he is the one player that really kind of, like, if I was to name one player linked with the pod, it would be Mo Salah, because it was his first season at Liverpool.
Yeah.
The first season we did the pod, and obviously he blew up that season. I think we both had him from game week one. As you said, you might have sold him erroneously a few times. I think I started actually to captain him before anyone else did. And that, you know, that really helped me as well that season, kind of sticking with that sort of newfound differential before kind of everyone else discovered him to a certain extent. And yeah, it was all interesting. It's all kind of back in the day now. It's just great to kind of reminisce about these things.
Yeah, I mean, you, during the time you were on the pod, had a few like very strong seasons. I mean, you weren't absolutely killing it. You weren't getting to, you know, where we say now, but you were still kind of finishing top 100k, getting sort of, you know, decent finishes out of it. I think you had like a 17k a little while back, didn't you? And then a couple of years ago when you'd finished podding, you got to 14k last year. Maybe let's ignore that one. But like your results are always very solid, whereas mine, like, it was literally just kind of like up, start a podcast, boom, nothing, just because, yeah. And I think there's definitely an element of playing to the gallery as well, because I felt like if I'd said something on the pod on the Monday, I had to follow it through. I had to kind of be true to my word, because somehow my reputation or something would have, you know, suffered. And I think that's definitely kind of something that I've now shed completely. It's kind of like, I don't care. Like, if I do something wrong, if I say something that I just later recant, then at least I will, you know, explain why I've recanted. But, you know, I'm not going to be held hostage to my own Monday musings. But it's certainly sort of, you know, you go through a bit of a learning process, I guess. There's not really much of a manual for it. It's just kind of something that you do. So I guess thinking about everything, keeping the pod running was always quite a bit of a concern, because I remember when we've had the first meeting, I think we were at Leon by Moorgate Circus. Was it Moorgate? I think Moorgate is somewhere around there. And you're just like, oh, Nick, is that my wife's actually pregnant? And I was kind of like, oh, okay. Well, that completely changes everything, you know. And then, you know, it became kind of like a bit of a countdown, didn't it? I remember that was how we met, started meeting people. We had Alex Ball on and had Anthony on for the first time when you were obviously back and forth from hospital when your son was born. And I remember that kind of changed things for you, didn't it? Because it kind of put everything in perspective. It's something that obviously I'm now going through with my daughter only being one. But yeah, you know, it's definitely sort of one of those things that when you're trying to launch a podcast, like you had to really kind of struggle, and then you did really well to try to just make sure you had your eye in, but obviously you had your focus understandably being elsewhere.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, you know, the season before we did our first pod, I think I got married. So we talked a lot at the wedding. Well, didn't really talk a lot at the wedding because I was too busy. But I think, you know, we found moments to kind of prep a little bit for the season ahead. We started churning out content almost like immediately around that time as well. And then my wife actually, she got instantly pregnant after getting married. So by the end of that first season, she was giving birth. And as you said, it kind of threw a few things into perspective. Like, I wasn't around as much as I was before, because as you said before, we kind of created the website, we were churning out articles, prospecting the prospects, we were getting, you know, trying to put something up on the website like almost every day, as well as like social media content, a podcast each week, and on top of a full-time job, and then just having a kid. I was like, well, this is probably too much. So I kind of scaled back a little bit and just did the weekly pods really after that. And yeah, just to manage that for a couple of seasons. We had obviously some brilliant guests cover as well. And yeah, just said eventually sort of Anthony joined the fold as well, and we were sort of like a threesome instead of a two-way. So
what kind of precipitated that was in 2019, very kind of end of 2019, me and my other half started thinking about, you know, we're going to start a family soon. Let's go traveling, because I had sabbatical and she was like in between jobs, and decided to go to Australia, which meant kind of, you know, 2 or 3 months out of the pod. And then Anthony had been on, I think he'd been on a few times, and we just kind of thought, yeah, no, he's a great guy, we've really enjoyed it. I think he was writing for Roto World or something, sticks in mind is what he was writing for at the time. Nice guy, very young. We're both surprised by how young he was. I think he's like 19. Oh god, that's my boy. That doesn't sound
he's
like
a bit older than
yeah, but now he's a bit, yeah,
not that.
He was a very young lad compared to us, so seven years younger or something like that. But he was always great on the pod, and I think we both really enjoyed it. And then when I went to Australia, kind of logged off Twitter for a couple of months. Not off the pod for a couple of months, and then Anthony took over, and we've got a voice note from Anthony actually, who sent us one in to just reminisce on what happens. And if you're on YouTube, this might be a bit boring, and I'm going to play it, and we will listen to it. Nick, you haven't heard of this, have you?
No, I haven't.
Cool.
Buddy, it's been a while, hasn't it? It's Stag / Anthony dialing in to wish Tom, Sam, and everyone else involved in Who Got the Assist a massive congratulations on reaching the 300 episode mark. The pod is nearly 7 full seasons completed at this stage. That's one heck of a milestone, and would obviously make it by far one of the longest standing podcasts in the community. So it's a real credit to everyone involved, but to Tom in particular, and he hasn't paid me to say this, a massive congrats to you. Like, as I say, a lot of work goes into producing, researching, recording a podcast every week. You know, you're watching a lot of matches, highlights, following the news every single day. You know, the listeners are by and large people who listen to many podcasts, read a lot of articles, they know their stuff about their football, and bluffers will be found out. And so for the pod to go from strength to strength for such a long period of time is a real, real credit to you. If people will forgive me a little bit of navel gazing for just a second, I started producing FPL content in what, August or July 2015, and so I remember in the summer of 2017 the WGTA Twitter account starting to interact with me, and I struck up a rapport with Tom and Nick and met Tom around that point as well, and was on my first podcast on the 16th of April 2018, pod number 34, and it was ahead of the blank game week 35 of that season. God. It was a very different time, I guess. I was studying abroad in Madrid in my third year of college. Nick was about to have his first kid a week later, and it was a real joy to be on. I was really delighted to finally speak to the guys on air and to, I guess, start interacting with the Who Got the Assist listeners, many of whom would have known me from Twitter already, but many of whom I got to know thanks to the podcast. And so I did 8 more podcasts as a guest over the next couple of seasons before coming in as a guest host with Nick from the end of December 2019, and that was while Tom was on a sabbatical from work down in Australia. And so that brought us through the 100th podcast mark on the 3rd of March 2020. And I recall Tom dialing in from an airport and noises going off for people boarding flights and gate information. And I was trying to edit the podcast afterwards, trying to get all this noise out. And it was an absolute nightmare. But it was such a joy to be there at that particular milestone. And of course, something soon happened after the 3rd of March 2020. And so things changed substantially. And so by podcast 103, I went back and listened to it because I remember recording it with Tom and Adam Pritchard. The episode is titled Socially Distanced Laughter, for anyone who's in doubt about what I'm talking about. And so we were talking about toilet paper keepy uppies. Tom expected there to be 12 weeks off at the time, and little did we know what was really to come. But we made use of that lockdown period. And so I recall with great fondness the Sunderland Till I Die watch along that myself, Tom and Nick did, where we applied something like academic rigor to season one of Sunderland Till I Die to dissect the storylines, how things were being portrayed, and to maybe see where it sat in the broader football landscape. And it was a real joy doing that. And I think that was some really solid work that we put together at the time. Then Project Football came and I was a permanent host of the podcast, eventually finishing up at the end of March 2022 due to work commitments. And I've actually stepped away from Premier League more generally myself since and try to go to as many League of Ireland games as I can and Ireland matches. And so I'm not doing as much FPL, but it's a time that I really listen. It's a time that I look back on with great fondness. And it was so much fun to be involved with the podcast, to interact with the listeners. And I just thank Tom and Nick for putting their trust in me to bring me onto the podcast all those years ago. And I hope that the pod continues to go from strength to strength. Here's to 400, 500, 1,000 maybe. Best of luck for the rest of the season, everyone. And it was great to chat to you.
Oh, what a guy. But yeah, no, you're right. Like, it was, we went from two to three, didn't we? Because we kind of thought it was a bit harsh if he stepped in for me the whole time when I was in lockdown. Not when I was in lockdown, when I was in Australia, and we were both kind of like, yeah, we've got to have him on board. And it kind of, I don't know, we all kind of hit it off in terms of, you know, we'd had him on as a guest and we'd had a great time. Both always said, oh, what a great sort of guy he is. And then kind of we had him on and yeah, literally became permanent host. I remember we did the last things I remember pre-lockdown were we did a pod on the upcoming double game, which was Ben Crellin. His only appearance on the pod, poor guy. And then, well, maybe not poor guy, I mean, he's doing very well for himself. But, you know, and then Harvey Barnes scoring, I think he got a brace and an assist or something like that. And I signed him that week. I was like, yeah, this is great. You know, the rest of it, and then straight away. And then, yeah, literally that week, as Anthony just mentioned there, it was locked down. And that was such a strange period, wasn't it? I mean, we're really kind of going into the weeds now, but let's kind of, from an FPL perspective, it was very odd, wasn't it? Like, I think, like, it'll be weird when my daughter's able to kind of be conversant. She doesn't talk yet because she's only one, but when she does start to talk and trying to explain that period to people was gonna be weird. And I felt like doing the pods in that time, despite the fact that we obviously weren't doing my FPL anymore, did that Sunderland Till I Die thing. I think we actually did both series, didn't we? Like, did kind of a whole sort of proper watch-along thing going on. Like, almost that kind of kept me sane because it gave me a sense of structure, you know, with everything that was going on. Was it the same for you? I know you had obviously a really busy household at the time too.
Yeah, I'd definitely say it kept me sane. Yeah, no, it's good to hear from Anthony, by the way. It's been a long time since I heard his voice. And yeah, as he said, he's kind of stepped away from football and FPL completely. Like, whilst I've kind of stepped away from the pod, I've still been very active in terms of actually playing FPL and in our chats and everything. But yeah, it's been a while since I've actually spoken to the guy. So it's really good to hear his voice and to hear his reminiscing of the podcast and the time that we worked with him, which was, you know, really good period. Yeah, as I said, he was a great addition to the podcast. But yeah, I think when it came to kind of COVID and lockdown, it was such a weird period, I think, for everyone. And it's almost surreal to remember those times where everyone's like queuing outside supermarkets with masks and all that kind of strange behaviour. And yeah, I think, you know, lots of people did quizzes on YouTube, on Zoom and stuff. Zoom absolutely blew up in terms of like stock prices, that kind of thing. And doing the pods, doing the Sunderland Till I Die weekly pods was like a great idea, because obviously there wasn't any football on. No one really knew when the football was coming back. Some people didn't even, you know, some people started to question if the football would even ever come back again. You know, that was a thought. That was quite a scary thought that maybe some people started to consider. So I think, you know, it did keep me saying, finding things to talk about. I think we always had things to talk about. We could have continued to do pods on a similar vein and a similar theme for anything, really, because we're that kind of people, I suppose. And talking about Sunderland Till I Die, yeah, it was really interesting kind of talking about some of the characters like Charlie Methven and Luke 09. It was his maiden season at Sunderland. And I remember even legend. Like when they were like, there was a whole joke about, oh, one day one of the chairs is going to have your name on it. He's actually become a bit of a Sunderland legend. So, yeah, that was all very interesting, I think, at the time. So, yeah, I think it was a weird period of our lives, but the pods definitely kind of helped us having these sort of weekly, you know, catch ups and talks. That definitely helped me. And kind of 4 years ago now, it was crazy that we kind of went through that.
If I remember, we did like a meme update where we were looking through the week's best memes. It was like, Anthony was sharing that. I remember there were a couple I remember. It was like, there's one tweet that was going around which got really loads of attention, which was that someone had realized that COVID-19 and Come On Eileen were very, very similar. Did not do that information. And you remember that one with like, they're making a big lasagna out over at Wembley Stadium, like the WhatsApp message. I remember all of those. Then we went from that period to Project Restart, and I felt like that was just insane, because obviously all the games were on their own, you could watch them all. But I remember we ended up being on at like kind of 10 o'clock at night, didn't we? I mean, literally the next game was the next day. And I don't know whether, you know, obviously it was quite a difficult period, because I remember kind of editing until kind of 2 a.m. and then the pod would be out, and then the next day would be the next set of fixtures, because it was also like kind of staggered. And we went from kind of literally nothing to just like an explosion of football. And that was mental. That was stuff, you know, like Michael Antonio versus Norwich, you know, scoring four goals, you know, Raheem Sterling going absolutely crazy at the end of the season, like all that sort of thing. I mean, my rank kind of went from my bench boost. I remember Charlie Taylor got an assist or something like that, got 12 points. And I think I got a clean sheet or something like that. So my rank was like near 100K. I think this is great. And then the next week, I didn't own Sterling and didn't own Antonio. And then suddenly my rank tanked, and that was kind of game over. But it was so intense and it was so weird. Like, there were no games going on concurrently. It was a really kind of, I guess, quite stressful as well, because like every sort of game had its own, obviously, the nuances, the players, and you were kind of just left to dwell on what hadn't gone your way every time. I mean, do you remember that period? I think you were definitely kind of quite involved in that. You hadn't quite stepped away fully yet, but yeah, you were definitely kind of around them, weren't you?
Yeah, and I think it was quite hard because there were just lots of last minute fixture cancellations as well, because, you know, a team had come down in COVID. So obviously it was kind of lockdown. The main lockdown had ended, but there were all these little mini lockdowns that were happening, and sports were allowed. But if a player had COVID, obviously they couldn't play. And if a whole team came down with a COVID, the fixtures would get out. There's some weird rule around six players or something. And so some fixtures still went ahead even though there was a breakout, and some fixtures got cancelled. It didn't feel like there was any hard and fast rules around it.
Do you remember, like, medical confidentiality as well? They wouldn't say a player had COVID. They'd say that he's got medical, there's a medical reason why he can't play. And then all of a sudden, like you get like a last minute, this guy's not around because he's had a close contact or something like that. Like, it seems insane now. I think it was a little bit later on, a little bit further down the path. But I remember there was a Villa fixture. I think this must have been a couple of years ago. I think it was after kind of the main lockdown sort of tranche. A Villa fixture which was postponed like with like kind of an hour to spare or something like that. Like, you know, that sort of stuff is unheard of now. You couldn't imagine it anymore. But back then, it was just kind of quite commonplace that you'd see that. And it was all a very kind of bizarre period. And from like the years of Solidity in the first kind of few seasons we did this, it kind of, yeah, it was a really sort of bizarre period, and trying to kind of commentate, analyze anything in that sort of time frame was quite difficult. So that was kind of, you know, what we went through in the early days. And then, you know, things started to change. So there have been lots of departures from the show. As anyone who's been listening for a long time knows, I'm the only one who's still sticking around. Maybe there is a common denominator on why people leave, Nick. Maybe it is me. But, you know, it is difficult. There are obviously a lot of things that, we don't do loads and loads, don't write all the time anymore. But, you know, you left first because you had another child on the way, and it was just kind of getting too much. And yeah, I mean, do you remember that time? Remember, you were thinking about it a lot, weren't you?
Yeah, exactly. So I think, you know, my wife was pregnant with her second child, and yeah, I think I carried on into all the birth of her. So she's going to be 3 in a month's time, so it has nearly been 3 years since I stopped doing the pause.
Mad, isn't it?
And my son has special needs as well, so he was diagnosed with autism, so that was also another challenge that I was going through at the time, and taking up a lot of my thoughts and time about how to kind of manage him and give him the best life. And I think, you know, trying to manage my job on top of everything else, and the podcast, unfortunately, had to kind of had to be sacrificed just because capacity. And I didn't want to kind of, I didn't really want to kind of give it the half-assed attempt where I just turn up on the night and not have any anything really to say, because I pride myself quite much in terms of having like information and data and all these interesting various points. And I didn't want to be one of those people that just turn up and I'll just record it on the night, it'll be all right, mate, you know. That was unfortunate. But obviously, I think Anthony was still around at this moment in time,
yeah,
at least for a little while. So I felt like I was leaving the pod in good hands, and you were obviously sticking around as well. So I didn't worry about the pod's future, and knew that it was still going to be going from strength to strength, let's say.
Yeah, it was the end of series 4. I remember listening to it back a little while ago, just to make sure I have my... And that was kind of like, we were kind of saying, you know, the pod will continue, but we won't all be continuing. Someone won't be around anymore, will they, Nick? You're just like, yeah, guys, I'm going. It's kind of like fairly dramatic. But, you know, it totally makes sense. And then kind of Anthony, I think, I've done the numbers, so we'll talk about that in a minute, or rough numbers. I haven't got all the time in the world. When Anthony ended up kind of going towards the end, as he said, of kind of the fifth series, I think he kind of left around kind of game week 30 sort of time. And I really wanted Lucy to kind of take over. I thought she was great, but there was a little kind of, there was a bit of a slippage between the two of them in terms of when Lucy was available. So we got FPL Harry, who at the time wasn't a massive celebrity as he is now, to come in. We had him on a couple of pods and thought he was very good. Harry has thankfully also sent us a voice note, and here it is.
What's up, everyone? Harry here. First of all, just want to say a big congratulations to Tom, Nick, Lucy, Sam, and everyone else that's been involved in the Who Got The Assist podcast over the past few years on a fantastic 300 episodes. I know when I first started just joining the FPL community, it was one of the podcasts that I absolutely listened to every week. And it is, of course, even though I'm not on it anymore, is still one of those podcasts that I do listen to every single week. It's been great. Nice to see how it's developed over the years. Tom asked me to say, what are the positives and negatives that I had while I've been on the podcast? I can say there are no real negatives on it, apart from recording in the evenings a little bit later than maybe my bedtime used to be. But that, and, you know, overcoming the curse of the co-host in terms of rank, I absolutely loved it. Tom is very easy to talk to, great mind in terms of FPL and a little bit more detail. And that sort of overall strategy thinking, I just think is great. Congratulations on 300 episodes. It's such a staple part of the FPL community and any bit of FPL content as well. So it was absolute privilege to be asked on, even as sort of a 6-month temporary. And I think Sam has done a fantastic job along with Lucy since then as well. So great to see it going strong, 300 episodes, and here's to 300 more. And thanks again for having me. And yeah, great pod.
Thanks, Harry. Unfortunately, Lucy couldn't do a note. Understandably, there's far more important things going on. Just became a mum. But it was a real sort of period in it. Harry came in for a little bit. Obviously, had the year with Lucy, which was really great. But obviously, she then left. So Harry could only do a little bit because he was busy kind of being a YouTube star. That's the thing that I, you know, mentored him and made him into the man he is today. You know, I launched his career. So therefore, I'm probably, you know, due 20% of his profits. But you know, we'll talk about that another time. And then yeah, Lucy coming on was obviously, you know, I really liked the idea of. I liked her a lot, knew her very, very well through kind of various group chats that you're a part of, Nick, as well. And then kind of thought, you know what, you know, she'd be a really good co-host, bring a really different sort of spin to everything. The fact she obviously is female was incidental, but I thought that that was a really good way to go. And we had a really good year. It was my best year in FBL so far on the pod. That's just last year now. So we've kind of come up to the present fairly quickly. I think just towards the end, she kind of, because Southampton were going down as well, like definitely the morale sort of flagged, and I think she kind of got to the end of her sort of natural product life cycle when it comes to FBL in terms of interest, and that was always sort of, you know, the writing was on the wall, I think, fairly early on. So yeah, I mean, I had to look around, I was wondering who we'd had, and I think that you did a pod with Pricey at one point, didn't you, with Sam?
Done one.
Just him and you. I think you were covering. I think you were covering for us last year. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I looked it up, and last year, when Lucy and Sam did a pod together, was the first time. I think it was kind of an unbroken run of about 240 pods that one of us had been on. So that was the first time one of us had not been on it, which is quite an achievement.
It was quite surreal listening to the pod. It's like, it was bizarre. There's a phase where I did one with Lucy and I did one with Sam, and then eventually I did one with you, and we were like, hold on, we haven't actually podded with each other for over a year, just because every time I stepped in it was with someone else, like Lucy or Sam or Stag or something. So there was so much
going on with my daughter and the pregnancy and things like that, which I won't go into here, obviously. But yeah, I remember that was kind of, yeah, that was a really surreal moment that neither of us were on as kind of the founders, I guess. I spoke to Sam when Lucy was thinking of leaving. I was thinking, well, I think Sam would be fantastic for the pods, and I approached him expecting him to be like, oh, I'm not sure, but no, he jumped at it, and I'm very glad he did. Went out for some pizza, brought in lots of really good ideas, and yeah, I mean, you, obviously, if you listen to us regularly, you know, for this year, you know, he's there, but he's also sent us a voice note, and this is your life. But yeah, the final voice note it is from Sam.
Hey guys, hope you're all well, and really sorry I couldn't be there live to enjoy the 300th episode with you guys, although it is probably for the best that you two get to enjoy it together, having obviously been two of the core founding members of WGTA, and what a ride it's been so far. I think I must have started listening even before I had an FPL Twitter account or anything like that. And it was one of the very first pods that I stumbled across on Spotify and really ignited my love for FPL, and realised at that point that there was so much more to FPL than just logging in on a Friday evening or a Saturday morning, quickly making a transfer and praying for the best. There's a lot more to it, and WGTA for me has always been the show that makes me think that little bit further, that little bit more about the consequences of what I do in FPL and the decisions I make, and challenges me to think that little bit more about every single aspect of the game. So stumbling upon it for the first time was such a lovely surprise to know that there was even content like this out there. And then it kind of inspired me to create my own Twitter account, and then beyond that, obviously, to eventually even be asked onto the show as a guest once or twice over the last two seasons before going full-time was such an absolute honour. I couldn't believe that anyone even wanted to listen to my ramblings in the first place. So a massive thank you to Tom, especially for letting me come on and start expressing my silly FPL thoughts. And then, yeah, coming on full time this year has been absolutely amazing. Hopefully I've done justice to the WGTA name. And yeah, just absolutely loved every last episode that we've done together so far. Really enjoyed putting it on YouTube live as well this year. That's been really fun, having that crowd interaction throughout the season and getting to know a lot of you listeners a lot more over the last year. And yeah, here's to many, many more years to come, hopefully. And here's to a lot more green arrows, fingers crossed, between now and the end of the season too. yeah, just hope that coming on the show hasn't been an issue for anyone. And I've enjoyed every single moment of it. And hopefully you guys have too, if you're listening out there as well. But yeah, I'll be back on Wednesday to talk about how the free hit's been going and start readying ourselves for game week 35 and the run in for the season. But yeah, enjoy the 300th episode, guys. You've done an absolutely magnificent job so far, and here's to the next 300. Bye, guys.
Thanks, Sam. He was at Crystal Palace today.
Game.
What a game to go. I want him to go whenever we've got differential in play. But yeah, some stats for you, Nick. We've got to do it. So as I said, last year, Lucy and Sam was the first one that neither of us were on. So I think that's kind of 240 pods, that we had an unbroken run thereof. Lucy did about 45, so one regular season of the 300. Sam's done so far about 40. Harry did 10. So that gives us 95. We've got 205 left to explain. Anthony, by my count, my very rough count, did about 100. But with about kind of 50 being him and me when you'd left. So that means that you did probably about 150 podcasts thus far. Even more sad slash impressive is that I missed one last year when my daughter was born, one more when you subbed in that week with Lucy. I missed five in Australia. That means I've done 293 episodes of 300, which calculates as being, if you take an average pod, being about 70 minutes, 20,510 minutes or 341 hours of podcasting over the last 7 years, which is... what am I doing with my
that's
life?
That's crazy.
I know. Over time, it accumulates, doesn't it?
I remember you going to Australia and you were like, I'm not going to be able to do the pod. And then like you kept just like coming in like an airport. You're like, I'm going to be around, guys. I'm going to be in an airport.
That was another one.
I think you were like, I've got some time. It might be 4 a.m. here, but screw it. I'm going to do a pod. I'm
awake. I'm jet lagged. I want to be involved, you know? yeah, maybe that's kind of my own problem, isn't it? There's definitely kind of a lot of challenges, aren't there, with doing this, as you kind of, you learn, and I've kind of always learned, always kind of keep kind of come up against. And I guess with life becoming busier, keeping up that level of interest in FPL, is having some idea of what's going on. In order to provide, as you kind of reference why you left, that you, if you kind of lose that sort of level of interest because understandably you've got other focuses in your life, which we both do, and I do now, just trying to keep up that involvement is obviously key. Even if I don't tweet as much anymore, or whatever, I'm still kind of trying to make sure that I'm abreast of everything. And that's just consistency, I guess. Like, that's been something that we were both very keen on from the beginning, that we'd be consistent. And there was a quality, trying to be professional about it. Just trying to kind of, I guess, kind of find the time. And now we've both got kids as well. I think about those guys who did the initial pod when we were kind of 27, 28, to who we are now. It's quite mind-blowing to think about it, isn't it? Like, you know, the experience we've been through. Now we're both dads. Now we're both homeowners, not that it matters really, but you know, all of that sort of stuff, and then work and everything else, it can be quite all-encompassing, can't it? And then trying to find, you know, trying to make space for the hobby, which is what FPL always was. And you mentioned it earlier on, that we were never kind of having those plans for world domination. Like, it was kind of, you know, stay in our lane, it's our hobby. If you enjoy it, great. If you don't enjoy it, we're not that bothered. But yeah, trying to keep that consistency up has always been the biggest challenge, hasn't it? I think that's at least to me, that's the kind of the one that I think is always kind of the main thing I'm up against.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, as you said, it was a long time ago since we started. It's been a sort of changing world as well. So obviously, like the pandemic and everything as well, back in 2020, like, I think everyone's lives have changed in terms of like now I'm basically work from home. I don't go into the city. I spend most of my time with my family and you know, I've got two kids. When we first started, I'd only just got married and we were in our late 20s. So definitely, I think we've both changed a lot, but hopefully for the better. As you said, like when we first started and struggled with confidence, had to have a few beers to kind of get us going. And now we're kind of just very different people, I suppose.
I say drinking my third beer of the pot. Yeah, I think a lot for me it's an excuse to have a beer sort of thing, because I don't drink that much. Like I don't drink every day or anything like that. I drink like kind of twice a week. I have one like kind of Friday or Saturday night, and I have one night where it's the pod, and I kind of like I can enjoy it, I can relax, and just kind of talk FPL, which is like pure me, you know, pure like nerdy. We just can go into it, have a great time just chatting about it with what it turned out as being a whole sort of array of co-hosts. But yeah, no, it's always been that way. And Sam mentioned obviously YouTube, I mentioned earlier on. I think innovating as well has been a big challenge, because obviously the things that we initially started out thinking that there's a gap in the market, they got filled really quickly. Probably the progenitors of why it became filled, but now it's a very kind of overcrowded sort of marketplace, isn't it? And I suppose kind of the greatest challenge for us is to try to stay relevant, and so something we're working on. There's no way that we can kind of do that, but yeah, there's definitely sort of, you know, always going to be that sort of overbearing sort of challenge in the future, in terms of trying to make it kind of work. But I don't think there's going to be any sort of difference of, we're not going to kind of foment some sort of world domination sort of idea. It's always going to be as is, in terms of it being a very sort of boundaried part of my life. And I think that that's always going to be what it is, because at the end of the day, I've got no plans really to go any further. But you know, FPL has changed a lot, hasn't it? Like, it feels a lot more professional now. It feels in some ways a bit more kind of, I hate to use the word, it sounds a bit kind of like I'm doing it down, but it does feel a little bit more sterile, doesn't it? Like, do you think the game's been essentially kind of solved from when we were back then, kind of how we had all these sort of great ideas and it felt very sort of limitless? Now it does feel, especially if you think about kind of last few seasons around the business end especially, but just during the season itself, it does feel like with the advent of EO and awareness of that, that it has become a very sort of, I'm not going to say stale, but it's quite in some ways it can be quite straightforward, can't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of the problem perhaps is that FPL hasn't changed, if that makes sense. It's more kind of the world around FPL to a certain extent. I feel like there's a lot more, I think, you know, back in the day, as I said, we were innovators to a certain extent, or pioneers, as you described it, just because there wasn't that kind of data science behind it that people talked about. But now there's like so many people, I suppose, out there on the, sort of the social medias getting spoon fed by content creators. There's people out there that pay essentially for early releases of people's teams so that they can copy them like player by player. And, you know, people basically provide that as a paid service. And I can't remember who it was, but there was someone who was doing really well, a content creator was doing really well one season, I think it's sort of 2K and or something like that. And there was like about 50 different people with the exact same team as him. And it was like game week 30 or something, and had the exact same moves the entire season. And I think that's just kind of reiterates the point, I suppose, that kind of like it's kind of been taken over a little bit by some people who perhaps like who just will pay to play, and kind of lost its freedom of expression, I suppose, where, you know, people would innovate and kind of just think about random things and punt on differentials. Now it feels like, especially last season, I struggled a bit last season, but it was almost just like captain Haaland or lose, and that kind of was a bit crap, I suppose, for anyone who wants to kind of play it a bit differently. If you tried to play it a bit differently, you would get punished. So I think that is a bit of a problem with the game. And I think we've talked interestingly about the FPL Fantasy Bundesliga, which we really enjoyed as well during the lockdown period when that kind of when the German leagues kicked off before the Premier League, and like the format there. And I feel like, you know, maybe if the game of FPL wanted to innovate, that would be a good example of a game it could copy, because I feel like it would add some extra elements to the game, such as sort of the triple, you know, the captains on defense, midfield and forward, for instance, and some of the troubles we've had with leaks as well this season. I suppose I think Fantasy Bundesliga seems like a really good version of fantasy football, and I think we probably, I know you're going to give it a go again next year, and we've got a few friends who have been really enjoying it this year as well. And I think that's part of FPL's problem, perhaps, is that it has become very, very template. And I also worry about next season, especially with the sort of the news about the FA Cup replays. There's going to be less doubles. There's going to be less opportunities to kind of get ahead of the crowd and more groupthink again. And that's going to be a challenge. It's so much harder to kind of get that sort of 2K OR that you once got. It's just because there's so much content out there and so many people that just basically copy and follow models and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, you need a fair wind, I think, behind you, and you need to be quite, you need to kind of just try to spot things that no one else is going to spot, be it the algos and be it the content creators or whatever. I think, you know, back in these things didn't exist when we first started, and we've kind of been in the midst of it as it's developed around us, sort of thing. And it may be because other things have been going on in both our lives, and certainly in my life, that maybe I've kind of not been as quick to embrace these things. But equally, I don't know, I think that's part of the enduring challenge, isn't it? Just staying relevant while also not going all in on something that maybe would diminish what the game can be, which it can be a very sort of intriguing, innovative, that idea of you've always got that sort of possibility that it's a free hit week right now in terms of if you listen to it kind of in time, and you know, getting a player in. I bought Jota this week, for example, who's just kind of got 12 points out of nowhere, that no content creator nor a model would ever kind of encourage you to buy. Back in the day, you used to be able to buy a player and have probably about kind of 4, 5, 6 weeks with them before anyone else would sort of pick it up. And now you get 1 week, maybe two. And like a player like Isak recently, like there's a reason why he was a differential for so long, is because of chip season being how it is. But all of these things are now a lot more sort of regimented because of the proliferation of information. That's not a bad thing. I mean, we always both kind of didn't like the idea, and I'm not going to single any sort of platform out, but there was always this idea that, you know, some people kind of were a bit sort of like, oh, I'm a bit of a gatekeeper, like I don't want all these kind of casuals playing FPL, like I want to have all the information to myself. And you know, it's always good to hear that people at work into it, chatting to me about it, out with the NCT dads last night, and you know, there were quite a few people who were really into it over the last couple of years, and that's really cool, because people kind of share my hobby. That's absolutely great. And it gives you another sort of avenue of discussion beyond just football. Or United are a bit rubbish, aren't they? Oh, Arsenal bottled it again. I mean, all that sort of things. It's nice to talk about those things, but it's also like in FPL, like suddenly you can have a real discussion about it. And I'm interested to see how it's going to develop over the next few years. As I said, we're not going to be looking towards world domination, but I feel like I'll definitely be keeping going. I think maybe talking about 1,000 podcast 1,000 if I am still here for that. I think that probably be a bit, that'll definitely be an achievement. But I feel like getting to 300 has been, it definitely kind of, from talking to you, Nick, today, it definitely has felt like we've kind of been through an awful lot really with the pods. And God, it would be in year 4 now if it was a child. that's quite something, isn't it, when you think about it?
Yeah, definitely. You know, as you said, we're getting on in years, but it has been really good to kind of reminisce. It's been a while since I was on the pod as well. I think almost coming up to a year. So yeah, it's been really good to kind of think about some of these memories, make me a bit nostalgic now. Thinking, oh, maybe I should come back again, do a few more pods, hopefully next year.
Welcome, Nick.
Dip my toe back in the water, perhaps a little bit, as you know, working alongside, obviously, both of you guys. So, I think, you know, No, that's great. Yes, it's bring on another hundreds, 200s. So it depends how much stamina you've got, Tom.
Be the end of me.
Obviously, it's the linchpin of the pod. But...
yeah, it'll be the end of me. Well, thanks very much, Nick, for coming on. It's been really fun to kind of have a walk down memory lane. I hope if you are still listening, you've enjoyed this too. Yeah, thanks very much, everybody. Nick, do you want to say the words to lead us out?
Thanks for listening, guys. We were Who Got the Assist. You can find us on Twitter at WGTA underscore FPO, et cetera, et cetera.
Those are the back of his hand. Thanks, Nick. We hope you enjoyed the pod. We'll be back on Wednesday with the proper pods. Thanks so much for listening to our ramblings for over 300 of these podcasts. I keep loving doing them. I'm sure I'll keep going for another year at the very least. But more than anything, I hope we assisted you. I'll speak to you very, very soon.
Oh, it's a goal. Who got the assist? Who got the assist?
Sports Social Podcast Network.